We read from Judges chapter 6. The Israelites at this time were being oppressed by the Midianites. In verse 6 of chapter 6, we didn't read it, the Bible says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites." The Midianites would let Israel do all the work, and then when they got ready to harvest the crops, they would come in and steal what the Israelites had planted and cultivated and harvested. The Midianites would come and steal it. And again, so Israel was greatly impoverished. They were poor because of the Midianites. And Gideon, when he was talking to the Lord, asked the question, "Why has all this befallen us?" And he should have known, because it was yet another cycle that's recorded in the book of Judges of God's people disobeying him and God sending judgment. In chapters 4 and 5, the two chapters before chapter 6, the Israelites had sinned. They'd turned away from God. They'd worshiped false gods. And the Lord, the Bible said, sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. And after a while, under his oppression, the people repented. They cried out to God, and God sent somebody to save his people. He sent Deborah and Barak. Remember, he had a lady named Jael cut the general Sisera's head off when he came into her tent to sleep. God sent him a deliverer. They turned back to God, but after a while, they forgot God again, and they turned away from him again. And so God had to send them into oppression again, and so he sent the Midianites. In chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." 7 years they'd been under oppression. The judgment had wrought what God wanted it to wrought. The people cried out to him again. And so God needed another deliverer. He needed somebody else that he could send to deliver his people. And he picked out this young man called Gideon. And he sent an angel, although I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to Gideon. And what we read was part of the conversation between that angel and Gideon. And I want to use one little phrase that we read tonight from verse 13, where Gideon asked the questions, "If the Lord be with us, why is all this befallen us?" And here's the phrase, "And where be all his miracles?" Where is the Lord? We've heard about God's miracles from our fathers. We heard the miracles that he worked when he brought them out of Egypt. They are quick to tell us about their miracles. And if God is with us now, then where be those miracles? Where are they at? Why is he letting all this happen? What Gideon was saying is, a miracle-working God ought to be working miracles. What Gideon was saying is, an omnipotent God ought to show himself omnipotent. An all-powerful God ought to show his power so that people can see it. And what the angel was going to tell Gideon was, "Hey, let me tell you something, Gideon. God's going to work a miracle, and you're it. You're that miracle." And Gideon said, "Just a minute." And the angel said, "Hey, you're going to lead an army, and you're going to overthrow Midian." And Gideon said, "That's impossible. I come from the smallest tribe, Manasseh. I'm the least in my family. I'm the runt of my family. I'm not a general. I cannot lead an army." And yet the Lord said to Gideon, "Yes, you can. You're gonna take an army of 300 men." Now, he didn't tell him this. Gideon was going to find out about it the hard way. I mean, you know the story. Gideon raised an army. There were 32,000 men that came. And God came to him and said, "Hey, you got too many. Tell everybody that's afraid to go home." 22,000 of them went home. 10,000 left. And God told Gideon, "Take him down to the creek." He didn't say creek. "Take him down to the water. I'm hanging around too many hillbillies." Brother Clyde asked me this morning how he could look up Warsh in the concordance. He wanted to know how to spell it. He couldn't find it in his concordance. You got to get you a hillbilly concordance, Brother Clyde, to get Warsh in there. So he took, he said, God said, take them down to the creek and watch how they drink. If they drink, put their heads down and drink like a dog, set them in one group. If they put their hands down and cup the water in their hand and bring it to their mouth, put them in another group. Well, the men that cupped the water in their hand and brought it to their mouth numbered 300. 9,700 of them drank like a dog. And God said to Gideon, send the 97 home. You got 300. That's all you're going to need. And Gideon said, this is impossible. The Midianites have an army that we can't even count. And you want me to lead this army of 300 men. And you say we're going to win. And the angel said unto him, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to take those 300 men and you're going to defeat that army. You're going to be the miracle. God's going to work the miracle through you. That's what God still wants to do today. We have a miracle working God. He wants to work miracles. We have an omnipotent God. He wants to be omnipotent, but he only works through his people. He only works through those that are part of his family. And so he wants to work through us. And he wants to work miracles through us and can if we'll let him. So tonight, I'm going to speak on the subject, how to be a miracle. How to be a miracle. I'm going to make four statements about how to be a miracle. I want you to listen. They'll help you. Here's number one. Don't pray for God to reduce your task to match your strengths. Pray for God to increase your strengths to match your task. Now, I'm going to use some examples tonight. God has given us all spiritual tasks. The jobs that he's given all of us, I would list as reading his Bible, reading his word, going to him in prayer, going to church, and witnessing. Now, there's probably others that you could list. And there are specific tasks that God calls people to, like he called Gideon to lead this army to go up against Midian. But I just want to use these four that God's called every one of us to illustrate my points tonight. And so he calls me to do those four things. Read my Bible, pray, go to church, and witness. I look at my strengths. I look at my resources. I look at my time. Okay? And I'm honest with the Lord, and I say, Lord, I don't have enough strength, resources, or time to do all four of those things. I can read my Bible, I can pray, and I can go to church, but I don't have time to witness. And what we normally do is, what we'll try to do is tell God, take that task away from me. I just don't have the time. I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength. Now, what we should do instead of telling God to take that task away from us is ask the Lord to give us strength, resources, time, ability, whatever we need to do that task. See, if you have the resources to do everything that God asks you to do, you don't need a miracle. In fact, you don't need God. I mean, you have everything that you need to do what he's asked you to do. But if you don't, and I think most of us fall into this case, if we don't have the resources, the strength, the time, and let me just save time by saying strength, if we and let it represent resources and time and everything we need to do the task. If we don't have the strength to do the task, then we need a miracle. We need God to be God. We need God to give us something so that we can do the task that he calls us to do. In fact, I think that God always gives us more tasks than we have the strength to do because he wants us to come to him, depend on him, and ask him for more strength. He wants us to realize that we can't do it with just what we have, that we need more from him. And so he always gives us more tasks than we have strength to do. And when we have more tasks than we have strength, then the conditions are right for God to work a miracle. And so, again, God came to Gideon and said, hey, you're going to lead this army. He said, no, I can't. I'm not a general. I don't have any experience in that. Doesn't matter. You're going to take 300 men. And Gideon said, but Lord, we can't even count the Midianites. And you want me to take 300 men? And God said, yeah, wait till I tell you how you're going to do it. And I don't have time to tell you that tonight, but if you know the story, it was a very unusual battle plan. No weapons involved. I mean, they were just to take, I won't tell you, I don't have time to tell you. I'm going to tell you, but I don't have time. But anyhow, Gideon's task was greater than the strength that he had. He didn't see any way that he could win with 300 men. And so he went to God and said, you need to increase my strength. You need to work a miracle. And that's what God wants to do in our life. And so he'll give us more than we have the strength to do, wanting us to come to him and pray, asking for more strength and to work a miracle through us. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Don't pray for God to reduce your task to match your strength. Pray that God will increase your strength to match your task. He'll work a miracle. Number two, your strength will change in relation to your task. So, here I am. I'll use a different example. I don't have time to read my Bible. I just don't have time. I'm too busy. And so I say, God, I can't do this task. Here's what's going to happen. God's going to give you less time than you got now. He's going to give you less time than you not got now. Because if you ask him to take away one of your tasks, he's going to reduce your strength. I've known people that told me, hey, I'm too busy to read the Bible. I just don't have time to read the Bible. And I've told them, have you tried? Just try it and see what happens. Because it works the opposite as well. If we take on more tasks, God will give us more strength. So if a person says, I don't have time to read the Bible, I say, try it. Would you try it for a month? Would you set aside 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, just a certain amount of time every day and try reading your Bible and see if you have enough time to do it? And invariably, if somebody would do that, and I've had people come back to me and they say, preacher, you're right. I didn't think I had time to spend 20 minutes a day in the Bible, but I've spent 20 minutes a day in the Bible, and I have just as much time as I had before. And that's the way God works. When he will increase our strength according to increase in our task, or he will reduce our strength if we don't do the task. That's the way he works. An old song, I use it at funerals sometimes. It conveys this truth. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Isaiah said it a different way. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That verse doesn't mean we sit down and we wait until God strengthens us. That word wait is like a waiter. They that serve the Lord, they that wait on the Lord, they that do what God tells them to do, even when they don't think they have the strength to do it, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So we want to be a miracle? Be like Gideon. He did not ask God, God, I only got 300 men. If you could reduce the Midianite army to about 300 men, I think we could beat them. He didn't ask that. He said, you want me to take 300 men and go up this army that I can't even count? Then I need you to go with me. I need extra strength. I need you to work a miracle. If Gideon would have said, God, if you reduce the Midianite army to about 300, I think we can take them. God said, okay, but I'm reducing yours to 3. You want me to reduce the Midian army to 300? I'll take yours down to 3. God, that's the way God works. So don't ask him to reduce your task to match your strength. And know that your strength is going to change in relation to your task. Number three, God won't give you added strength until you start the task. He's not going to give it to you until you start. He's a wise investor. He doesn't waste his strength. And he's not going to give it to you before you show that you're going to use it and do the task that he wants you to do. That's where faith comes in. See, most of us, well, show me, Lord, the resources. I mean, in Gideon's case, he said, Lord, you need to give me a bigger army. You give me a bigger army. I mean, a lot bigger army. A lot bigger than the 32,000 I started with. You had me send all those people home. We need to get those back, and you need to multiply that. And then I'll go fight. That's not the way God works. God said, you go with what I've given you. You go with the 300 men. And then I will give you what you need. I will give you the additional strength. I will work that miracle on your behalf. Again, most of us want the strength before we start. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says this, there hath no temptation, testing, taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Most people quit reading the verse there. Oh, God's going to give me a way to escape. He's going to give me a way out of it. The verse doesn't end there. The verse goes on to say, that ye may be able to bear it. God's not, when we run into a time of testing that we can't handle, we want to claim that promise. Well, Lord, you're going to help me escape. And God said, no, I'm not going to help you get out of it. I'm going to give you what you need so you can bear it. You need to bear it so that you can get stronger. People that lift weights, they always try to lift a little bit more than they did before because that's the way they build their strength. I mean, if they only lift the same amount of weight they did before, they'll never increase their strength. It's when they go beyond what they've done and try to lift a little bit more that they build the strength to lift a little bit more. And that's what God is saying. I'm not going to give you a way to escape. I'm going to give you the strength to bear it so that you can get stronger and accomplish more for me. So, don't pray for God to reduce your task to match your strength. Pray for God to increase your strengths to match your task. Your strengths will change in relation to your task. God won't give you added strength until you start the task. Number four, don't pray to do a miracle. Pray to be one. Anything that we accomplish in the Christian life, it's not us doing it. It's God working through us. He calls. We say like Isaiah, here am I. Send me. And he sends us. He sends us. And as we do the things that he calls us to do, he works through us. You and I can't work miracles. Nobody really can except for God. And God will work those miracles through us. I can't work a miracle, but I can be a miracle by letting God work through me. As Becky sang a moment ago, you're looking at a miracle standing before you. I was a sinner headed toward hell. I was a sinner that deserved to go to hell. I was under the condemnation of God for my sin. And there was nothing that I could do to change that. Tonight, I'm forgiven. Tonight, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tonight, I have the assurance that I am on my way to heaven. If the Lord comes and calls us out in the rapture, or if I have the big one and die tonight, I have the assurance that you're going to see the shell, although I've told my kids to cremate me, so you're going to see my ashes, not the shell, but the nuts going to heaven. That's me. The nuts going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I've been forgiven. You're looking at a miracle tonight because I have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, amen, by Jesus Christ. That's a miracle that God could do that for me. It's a miracle that he does it for you. We don't deserve it. Like, who was it that prayed this morning? I can't remember. I listened to your prayers. I just can't remember who prays it. But I think it was for the Lord's Supper. I think it was when Brother Gary was praying for the Jews. And he said something like this: I can't believe that you love us that much. Can't believe that you love us enough to send your son to die for us. I can't either. I mean, it's beyond me. It doesn't make sense from a human standpoint. It was a miracle that God saved us. It was a miracle that he sent Jesus to die for us. We couldn't do it on our own. Here's old Gideon. You take this army of 300 men and you go fight these Midianites. And Gideon said, I can't do it, God. And God said, you're right. You cannot do it. But I can do it through you. I can do it through you. If you'll let me, I can do it through you. God works that same way today. He hasn't changed. He works the same way today. He'll give us tasks. Those tasks will be bigger than our strength. We can either pray that he'll take the task away. We can be disobedient and not do the task. But if we do that, our strength's going to go down. We're going to have less strength, less time, less resources than we do now. But if we'll step forward in faith, get started with whatever he has said to do, he said, okay, you're going to be obedient. I'll give you what you need to get it done. And I will work a miracle through you. The world is looking for Christians to let God be God through them. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. He's looking for Christians that will live the life that pleases God, that will live the life that brings honor to God, so that the world can see it and say, hey, they're real. God's real. God works. I want what they have. Let's be a miracle. We can't do them ourselves, but God can work them through us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for an example like Gideon, who just was another proof of what an omnipotent, powerful, miracle-working God you are. When the task was insurmountable, you wrought victory and proved to not only Israel, but to the Midianites and to all the people that have read this story down through the ages, that you're a miracle-working God. I pray we'd have that kind of faith, the faith that would say when God calls me to do something, even if I don't think I can do it, I'm just going to start. I'm going to depend on him to give me what I need. I pray that we'd be that kind of people. I pray tonight if there's just one, even just one person here that hasn't seen the miracle of salvation in their life, that Father, you would remind them tonight that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid that penalty. If they'll come and receive him, he'll make them one of your children. Justify them. You'll justify them. You'll make them just as if they've never sinned. You'll make them one of your children. You'll give them that hope of eternal life in heaven. I pray you'd speak to that. If there's just one, Holy Spirit, that you'd pray, help them to come make that decision tonight. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.